Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And on this week's episode of Antiques Freaks, we're getting even more niche than anyone thought possible.
God, we're just going for it, huh?
Yeah.
Driving that train into the harbor?
What? Don't drive the train into the harbor. We will be going over the Snellen Reform Eye.
That sounds like an indie band.
God willing, by the end of this episode, it will be. Quick note up top. You may hear some weird cracking, popping, and booming noises. No one's getting shot. The neighbors are just still celebrating 4th of July.
It's been a couple weeks, we know.
But yes, back to antiques. Dee, what do you think of when I say Snellen Reform Eye?
I don't... You ever have that moment where you're like, think of a joke, think of a joke. And you're like, I don't got anything. Or just answer the question honestly, and then you're just blank. Snellen Reform Eye. I think about eyeballs.
All right.
Definitely eyeballs. Snellen, he sounds like a creep.
It's rude.
Probably a dude.
Shockingly rude.
And also, it's probably, it's definitely an eyeball that was sent through Catholic school for being naughty.
Is that where you're getting the reform part?
Yes.
Is that where the reform is coming in? Okay. I can tell you that maybe 1% of that is accurate.
Was the eyeball part?
Yes, it was the eyeball part. Well done. Well fucking done.
I'm doing fabulously.
You're doing so well. So, first off, Snellen. What's a Snellen? Who am Snellen? I will tell you.
Okay.
I wasn't just gonna make you guess forever.
I was gonna be like, is that when a snail is chilling?
God, I wish.
Snellen.
Oh man, Snellen. No. Alas, no, it's not when snails chill. If you recognize the name Snellen, it's probably because of the Snellen eye chart.
I didn't recognize that at all, so congrats to Snellen for missing that point in history, too.
The Snellen eye chart is something, if you have glasses, you've probably looked at one of these in your doctor's office to determine what kind of glasses you need. It was developed by the Dutch ophthalmologist Herman Snellen in 1862.
Ah, the Dutch.
According to Wikipedia, since its inception, more copies of the Snellen chart have been sold in the United States than any other poster.
Really?
This had a citation.
Whoa.
So I'm gonna assume that somehow they know that.
But like more than Backstreet Boys posters?
Yes.
More than those posters that say Boff Fry Flu?
What? What the fuck posters
are you? They're for spotting the signs of a stroke, but like, for some reason it felt the need to illustrate someone not making sense in speech, and there is a person saying, Boff Fry Flu.
Alright.
So that's all I have to say about that. More than that poster? Because that's a good poster.
Yes.
More than like a velvet blacklight poster with like a bitchin' dragon on it?
Yes.
Damn.
More than all of those. Jesus fuck. Most actual doctors have since moved on to the Logmar chart, which is more accurate for reasons I couldn't figure out because I don't have a medical degree.
So
it's just more accurate because reasons.
Is it the same setup where it's just letters?
Yeah.
In varying distances from my eye?
My nine,
my
yeah.
My nine.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, that seems like a pretty doctor thing to know.
How eyes do.
How eyes be do.
But then, roughly 20 years later in 1880, Snellen did another eyeball thing.
This dude can't be stopped.
He just can't stop from ophthalmology. Are you familiar with the term enucleation? No is an acceptable answer.
I thought I did. It's not a cellular thing?
No.
It will...
Enucleation is the surgical removal of the eye.
Calling me
out. I just wanted you to know that this is a safe space and... Not knowing things is fine because then you have the opportunity to learn.
Well.
And we accept everyone with all levels of knowledge here.
Okay.
And you are welcomed and loved.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Even if you don't know what enucleation means.
Well, I do now. You said it.
Did I?
Yeah, say it again.
Oh, it's the surgical removal of the eye.
There we go. Now I know.
Now you know. So in 1880, these were on the rise.
What was happening?
Thanks to developments in anesthesia and asepsis.
Okay.
Basically, we were better at putting patients to sleep and having them wake up afterward. And we were also better at not having massive infections all the time for no reason.
Oh, okay. So this was that we could remove eyes when they were damaged and not that eyes were being damaged more often.
Correct.
Okay.
Eyes were just as damaged as they always were, but now we could remove them without killing people, which is great.
That's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's very good. For all the reasons you might need to not have an eye anymore.
I just thought of like three off the top. It was bad.
So because more people are surviving eyeball removal, they're like, hey, what else can I put in this socket? It'd be cool to have, like, a pretend eye, maybe.
And Snellen was like, I don't know, hazelnuts?
No, Snellen was not like that. Before Snellen, there were, air quotes, advancements in prosthetic eye technology that were basically a hollow shell that goes in your eye socket.
That sounds horrible.
Well, when I say hollow shell, I mean it's, like, just a shell. Like, imagine taking one half of a clamshell that's, like, small enough to fit in your eye socket and, like, painting a pupil and an iris on it and putting it in your eye socket.
Oh, you mean, like, literally a fucking shell?
Not literally a shell.
Oh, okay.
You weren't actually doing that. What you were actually doing was taking, like, specially made pieces of glass that look like eyes, but the shape and texture.
Oh, so it was like a little dish painted like an eye that you just kind of crammed in?
Correct.
Okay.
These were good on the one hand because they looked like real eyes, by and large, because they were made by master glass workers. They were less ideal in that, as you might have guessed from the shell description, the edges were kind of very thin and rough. A lot of people had that reaction, which prompted Snellen to create the reform eye.
Sent it right to reform school.
Yes. He sent those bad shell eyes to reform school and they came out like this. He invented the new prosthetic eye that was hollow and had rounded edges.
That sounds much better.
So basically, instead of a two-dimensional dish, you have a glass eye that's roughly the same shape, except instead of, like, cutting off the edges of the glass, they folded the edges of the glass back in on themselves to create a kind of glass eyeball balloon.
Okay, that's disgusting, but I get it.
And this was a massive improvement not only because you didn't have the rough edges irritating the eye socket anymore, but also because it had a little more depth to it, it could kind of hook up to all the muscles and whatnot that were still in there and help create a more realistic fake eye.
Okay.
And also, when you, like, close the lid over it, it looks more like there's a real eye under there because there's more there.
So just less spooky in general?
Yeah. Less painful, less spooky.
Great. I have a question.
What?
Why not just balls? Wait. Like, saw that on XTube once. Why not just, like, a round ball, like a marble?
Marbles are heavy.
Oh!
The eyeball is not heavy.
No, it's juice, mostly.
Yes. The eye socket is not designed to contain things much heavier than an eyeball.
Okay.
So, I'm going to be asking you to imagine a lot of horrible things on this episode.
I'm so excited.
But imagine, instead of your eyeball, you have, like, picture the weight of a marble. Now picture that in your eye socket.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. That feels painful.
Yeah.
That feels not great. That feels less than ideal.
Ugh.
Hence the shells when they could make them happen. And hence this. That's also why it was hollow.
Keep the weight down.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, I feel dumb apologizing for this episode being gross, but I'm about to get a little grosser because, like, also imagine you're, like, hanging out with your solid glass eye and you bend forward.
Ugh. I should stay in the head, fake or otherwise.
We can all only hope. I do have some examples of the advertising used to get the word out about this great new development in prosthetic eyes.
An advertisement for prosthetic eyes.
Oh, yes. Nice. Oh, yes. If I may. From F.A. Hardy and Company, artificial eyes. We have, without doubt, the largest and most complete stock of artificial eyes carried by any wholesale optical house in the United States. Our artificial eye department is in charge of experts in the matching of samples who devote their time to the selecting and fitting of eyes. The Snellen Reform Eye, in particular. The attention of our customers is called to the Snellen Reform Eye, and we wish to caution them that there are on the market several cheaply made eyes that are imitations of this eye, but may easily be detected by examination. Our eye is clear and lifelike in coloring, and the edges are smooth and well finished. While the imitations are not so lifelike, and the edges are rough and exceedingly dangerous when the eye is put into the socket. The advantages of the Snellen Reform Eye are as follows. First, that the use of them causes much less secretion than the ordinary style.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so another thing about the shell eyes is that when the eye socket is irritated,
the weeping.
The weeping occurs. But not with the Snellen Reform Eye, no.
Ah.
Thus prevents the accumulation of substances in the cavity, which causes irritation and conjunctivitis and annoyance to the wearer. Nope, irritation to the conjunctiva. Conjunctiva? Conjunctiva.
Conjunctiva, yeah.
Conjunctiva.
I don't know if I was just putting a spin on it for fun.
Conjunctiva is my new drag name.
Jesus.
All substances finding their natural way of discharge.
Ugh.
Second, by the construction of the reform eye, all sharp edges are dispensed with, a feature that will appeal to all experienced with the trouble caused by rough edges on artificial eyes. Third, the reform eye is designed and made to fit over the stump in the socket, so that the wearing of this form is much more comfortable and, for this reason, may be worn longer without irritation. Like, I know you're grossed out, but that's a real concern for some people.
No, no, I mean, it's the wording, it's the language.
It's the 1880s.
Yeah, it's like, it's the 1880s. If I were getting the same talk from someone in the 2000s, I wouldn't be half as, like, it's that, like, it's the word secretions.
It's
like,
that sickening Victorian whimsy.
Yeah, like, they got
applied to the medical field.
The most inappropriate things.
Fourth, being made in full form with closed back, much more movement is gained and consequently more natural expression results.
That's nice.
Yeah. Fifth, the reform eye is more durable, not only from causes of accidental breakage, but from sudden changes of temperature, to which the ordinary eye is very sensitive.
Oh my, wait.
The construction of the eye when an inside chamber of air is responsible for this feature.
Temperature changes?
Y'all can't see this, but I have a smile of great anticipation.
Like, they can't pretend that they didn't just say that. I heard that.
Temperature changes. Yes, you did hear temperature changes.
So that your eyeball don't get cold is all?
Now, what the advertisements don't mention about the Snellen reform eye is something revealed in a case study from 1917.
Oh, the word case study speaks highly of what we're about to talk about.
Oh, yes. From the Ophthalmic Record, a monthly review of the progress of ophthalmology, volume 26, published 1917.
All right. It sounds official. There's something about the wording, like, this century's wording, where they're also very redundant. Gets me every time.
All right. Quick sidebar. Should I read the title of this before or after I read the article?
Oh, that's a good question. After.
Okay. So, sight unseen, if you'll pardon the pun. Let's dig into this case study. Presented at the Ophthalmic Section of the New York Academy of Medicine, Monday, October 16th, 1916. Previous to 1900, the artificial eyes in use were simple solid shells of glass. The Snellen reform eye has so many well-known advantages over the old style that it is needless to mention them at this time. The only disadvantage seems to be this tendency to explode.
God.
This is a great eye, you guys. It's just got one thing.
One little problem.
It's got this one weird trick that ophthalmologists hate. It's just this one thing that this...
One weird thing you can do to your eye socket that ophthalmologists hate.
Just this one thing. It's your great eye. It's the best prosthetic eye we have got. Here in 1916, it's just got this one thing,
one
though.
One thing, one problem.
Just this one thing that we will now describe in detail. This is due to the thinning of shell at a point on the posterior surface of the eye where it is fused. In all of the cases of rupture that have been seen by the different opticians I consulted, they all told me that the rupture always took place at this part of the eye. Mm-hmm. Now,
the part of the inside?
Phrases like, all of the opticians, and opticians, plural.
That's bad. Time's ahead.
So this isn't just this one time. This isn't just this one time this happened.
I'm looking at the diagram.
This
and
is just
like,
the one case study we have.
I can see this diagram, and like as I was looking at it, a moment of horror washed over me as I like it, I did realize what they were talking about.
To continue. I was unable to get any accurate report of the number of cases of explosion.
Wow. So many that we can't count them, huh?
But the three firms I consulted gave estimates from their memory of from 30 to 40 similar cases.
Oh, that's too many.
I feel like that's too many exploding eyes, but I'm also not an ophthalmologist.
But here's the thing, it's also not so many that they couldn't have fucking written them down. What are these agencies doing, like, 30?
Probably.
It's a maybe.
It wasn't enough of a disruption of my day-to-day, this exploding eye, that I bothered writing about it.
Yeah, I didn't have a notepad for this one.
It didn't make it into my diary. This exploding eye.
Christ. Like, you have to wonder what else your day is like. When you're just like, oh, I should mark that one down, but then someone comes in, like, fully on fire, and you're just like, whoa, never mind.
Well, we're about to bring it all back around, because... They were all of the opinion that the explosion was very often caused by the exposure to sudden changes of temperature.
Oh, like being fully engulfed in flames.
No, 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 no. You remember like 5 minutes ago when we talked about how great the Snellen reform eye was?
Yeah,
because
it's awesome.
It doesn't react to changes in temperature?
Yeah, I thought it didn't.
One of the firms told me that they warned the wearers of the Snellen reform eyes about going from the extreme cold of the out of doors into very hot rooms on account of the possibility of an explosion.
How could you...
This is the greatest eye ever, except when it's cold outside and warm inside. Except for that one season, it's great.
What?
Just don't be outside when it's cold and then be inside when it's warm real fast. Just don't do that, and this is the greatest eye you'll ever have.
So don't leave your home, I guess, in winter?
Yeah.
But also, like, what do you have to do? You, like, sidle up to the window and be like, Martha, is it hot in there? It can't be hot in there or my eye will explode. Like, you don't know. Like, every day I walk in from the cold, I don't know what the temperature's gonna be like internally. That just makes it, like, the fucking worst, like, game. Where you're just like, you open the door real slow and it's like, is today gonna be the day my eye explodes? I don't know what the temperature is in here.
Mrs. CK knows. Because Mrs. CK is the subject of this case study.
No.
Say hello to Mrs. CK, age 45. Left eye was enucleated 10 years ago, and since that time has always worn Snell and Reform eyes, which were made to order. Had her last eye about 1 year, when an explosion took place which resulted in breaking of the artificial eye. I like that they specified that the explosion broke it.
Yeah, I would here's the thing. I would be desperate to see the obverse. Where the explosion exploded, but did not break.
It exploded, but it was totally fine.
It was like a pistol shrimp inside of her eye. Just a concussion of pure sound.
August 1st, 1916. A day which will go down in infamy.
I'm certainly going to remember this August.
For a week before I exploded, patient suffered intense pain in her head, and the socket discharged, quote, pus, and she had been washing the socket with boric acid solution. Patient had been doing her own housework as usual, was cooking at a gas stove just before the accident occurred. It was quite hot in the kitchen, and she walked to the door to go out in the yard when there was a peculiar explosive noise in her head, which was followed by pain in the socket. Please describe your face right now.
Sort of tormented, as if I'd seen hell.
With your prosthetic eye?
With my prosthetic eye that's weeping pus, and it just exploded.
Patient thought she had been shot.
Yeah, like, I don't blame her. That'd probably be my first guess, too.
There was a sensation of swelling inside the socket.
Oh, God.
She walked to her bedroom, which was on the same floor, called her daughter, and fainted from fear and shock.
Yeah.
Understandable reaction.
Yeah, like, of course she did. It's terrifying.
Cannot blame her. That's the first sensible thing that's happened in this entire case study. When she recovered consciousness, she did not know just what the trouble had been, but thought that her glass eye had broken.
Okay, well...
You're not wrong, Mrs. CK. You're not wrong.
Yeah, Mrs. CK, you've nailed it, unfortunately.
She attempted to remove the glass eye and found it difficult to do so on account of the great, quote, suction or vacuum.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not great when your fake eye explodes. Turns out.
After, like, ugh.
Yeah, turns out it's a bad time. When the eye was removed, a hole was found in the central part of the rear surface about 4 by 6 millimeters in size. So that's a hole in the back of the fake eye.
Yeah, I'm just like, fuck. So she did kind of get, like, the sensation was very much like getting shot.
Yeah. No, she basically got shot from inside her own head.
What? I just, like, there's some very conceptual sci-fi author who is scribbling notes furiously.
Or someone who's trying to start a metal band.
Yeah, shot from inside my own head is my next album.
The piece had fallen into the socket.
Oh.
In an article full of terrible sentences.
That's
up there.
That's up there with the worst ones.
That's up there with the worst sentence. There was considerable reaction in the orbit and the swelling of the lids, which all subsided within 48 hours after the accident. So, 2 days later, she's fine.
Was the glass still in her?
I get the impression that they removed it, but let us read further.
Okay.
The treatment consisted in the use of silver nitrate.
No.
Yes, our old favorite silver nitrate.
Oh no, I don't like it.
Check out our sterling silver episode if you want to know why that's a great idea.
So awesome, do it.
Silver is magic and cures all wounds. Cold compresses and boric acid wash.
Okay, well...
The cold compresses, yeah, that'll reduce swelling.
Boric acid isn't the worst. It's not like you wouldn't do it now, but that was understandable at the time.
As was silver nitrate.
No.
The greatest antiseptic we'll ever have.
It wasn't.
I'm gonna get me one of those silver nitrate spray machines they used to use in operating rooms.
Ugh.
Have the cleanest house alive.
It would definitely look cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a David Bowie music video vibe. A
little surgery sprinkler. The patient said that the noise caused by the explosion was similar to the bursting of an electric light bulb.
Okay, oh, that was a moment of, like, sensory clarity that I didn't want to have.
I mean, I feel like that's gonna be this episode in a nutshell.
Yeah.
The glass eye in this case was lost, and the illustration is made from another glass eye, which shows the exact position of the rupture at almost the same size. It would be of interest to have records of all such cases, again with the all.
Again with the idea that, like, this had to happen, some people were like, oh yeah, I had to talk about, I don't know, 40 people this happened to, and it's just like, yeah. You didn't write it down?
This is the first guy to be like, we should make note of these.
Yeah, he's calling out to his friends like, could you guys jot it real quick?
Next time you see an eyeball explosion, could you maybe, like, make a tally mark?
Yeah. Or something? On the wall, like, wherever.
It would be of interest to have records of all such cases, as it might be the means of inspiring the makers of glass eyes to try to overcome this seemingly unnecessary disadvantage of what appears to otherwise be the most satisfactory form of a glass eye to be obtained.
That's a very polite response to, your glass eye exploded my head.
This is a call to action to, hey, glass eye makers, did you know your shit explodes? Could you maybe make it not do that? Thank you. Signed, ophthalmology, just the whole thing.
It's less of a call to arms and more of a, like, a polite but pressing request. Like, there's a very, would you please consider, like, oh, daddy Snellen, would you please maybe think about not busting my eye open into shards of glass? I would just love that.
I have so much new appreciation for every eye doctor visit I've ever had.
Yeah, I am now considering writing some, like, sternly worded but ultimately very polite requests for them. That sucks.
So that is the Snellen Reform Eye.
So it was just like, oh, it doesn't have any sharp edges except for when it explodes, and then it's all sharp edges, I guess.
Yeah, but until then, it's great.
But until that happens, it's gonna be,
until,
like,
then, it is choice.
But that, so the problem with it, if I'm gonna run this through by you so you can correct me if I'm wrong. It seems to be that it was curved and it had, like, a chamber that had a pocket of air.
Yes.
That would compress or decompress based on the temperature. How come they couldn't have just put a little fucking hole in it to allow for better air compression and decompression?
But D.
Or just, like, a little, like, not make a full complete wall to have a little trapped air pocket. They could have just not done that. They'd come so far already.
Prosthetic eyes have gotten better from here on out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have improved.
They're fabulous now.
They do no longer explode, which is great.
I recommend Googling the how it's made artificial eyes, glass eyes.
Ooh.
Very cool, yeah.
Very fun.
I do want to clarify, any of my disgust is not at the idea of a false eye.
No, like, that's completely chill.
It's
that people who require prosthetic eyes, like, who need prosthetic eyes, have to put up with this shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up. That's completely unfair. Like, unfairness on top of an already unfair situation. We're like, you don't have your eye anymore, but it's okay, we replaced it with a tiny hand grenade.
Yeah, and by the way, we don't know when it's gonna go off.
But we have begun petitioning the creators of these to make them explode less.
Yeah, we're sending them letters saying it's maybe 30 or so people. It's just the idea that, like, in a time before standard scientific medical practice, they were allowed to just guinea pig these people. They were like, hey, we made this eye, and then they crammed it in a person, and then was just like, oh, we forgot to see if something bad happened.
I think this might be one of the situations where, like, we got the idea that we should maybe test stuff before we put it in people.
Yeah, was this, like, maybe part of the contributing factor to the idea that science should be tested on not living human beings?
I've got nothing.
Okay, well,
I have no idea when they stopped making eyes explode.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not surprising given that earlier we're dealing with the fact that people's eyes were exploding and it didn't occur to them until much later to write it down.
So I found all of this out researching a completely unrelated project.
Oh.
I just thought it was a fun story about antiques and antique medical oddities.
It is a fun story.
That I could bring to you, the listener, so you could think about what it feels like to have your eye explode.
And just maybe take a minute to be thankful that we live in the enlightened scientific age we do now.
Just maybe take a moment to be thankful that your eye didn't explode today.
Yeah, we live in a world where we know that the false eyes that we purchase are non-exploding.
Yay!
By and large.
Huzzah!
So, man, I think I've actually seen a Snellen Reform Eye.
We definitely saw some at the New Bedford Glass Museum.
Yes, that was very cool.
We should be putting those photos up on the Instagram soon.
Yes.
But yes. I did look around to see where I could buy a Snellen Reform Eye because I'm that goth.
Mm.
I can't. Not even Sotheby's and Christie's have them.
Really?
No one has them. It's also, part of the problem is the SEO is fucked because when I type in Snellen, I just get eye charts. And if I type in glass eye, I just get doll eyes.
Oh, yeah. That's, you're in one of those little hell zones where you can't get info.
Yeah.
You know what's fun is, when I was 12, I found a glass eye. I believe it was a pre-Snellen Reform eye because it was very shallow and very sharp. It matched my eye color eerily closely. And I didn't buy it, and it's one of my greatest regrets.
Now it's one of my greatest regrets.
Because people kept holding it up to me and saying, oh, it's like your third eye. Like, it matched my eye color to an uncomfortable extent.
Someday it'll come back around to you.
I'm gonna find it.
I wanna believe. Yeah,
glass eyes come up pretty more fairly often than things that might make more sense to come around in a shop.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you, like, just, like, text me or something when that happens next? Because I cannot find glass eyes on the internet.
Dude, Brimfield, this autumn.
Ooh.
Join me for it. We'll go on an eye hunt.
Broadcast live from Brimfield, hunting for eyes.
And we'll say that to every dealer.
Yes.
Do you have eyes?
Especially the jadeite dealer.
Do you have the eyes I'm looking for?
Do you have eyes and or any gossip about Martha Stewart?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to live blog Brimfield this year again so that I can tell you more stories of people shit talking Martha Stewart. And also us following the flea market flip crew in a hushed and amused manner.
So, if you know when eyeballs stopped exploding or where one can purchase a Snellen Reform Eye today, you should hit us up at antiques_freaks on Twitter or email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. Send us a message on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com. Does Instagram have a messaging function?
Yes, you can PM me on Instagram.
All right.
Were you? I don't know if you manage the Insta at all.
One of us does, I'm sure.
One of us will get to it.
Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/antiquesfreaks.
Yes.
And you can also message us on Facebook, which one of us definitely manages, at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks. If you would like to hear stuff that didn't make it into the eyeball exploding episodes and other episodes, some deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/antiquesfreaks.
Yeah, you can hit us up for such cool things as we make fun of Walt Whitman for 7 minutes.
We did do that.
Page flipping ASMR.
We also have that.
A discussion of why I call myself a low-res JPEG of Don Cheadle. And more mysteries that you will only be able to access on the Patreon.
So many mysteries. Also on the Patreon, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard from Dee's shop every month.
Please, I love it. The more people join, the more fun I get to have picking out goofy postcards.
And if you want to just buy stuff from Dee's shop directly, you can check out the Etsy at etsy.com/antiquesfreaks. Where we've got vintage jewelry, vintage buttons, whole variety of vintage goods. We did just sell the vintage goggles.
Did just sell those. Those are gone, sorry.
Do we still have the boy's teacup? We
still have the teacup for my boy.
We have a teacup that is decorated with the words, for my boy.
It's for your boy. Do you have a boy?
Does he need a teacup?
I've got a teacup for your boy.
We also have t-shirts with the podcast logo on them. Those aren't vintage, but they're still fun.
Yeah, I like them.
Sources for this episode include the textbook Clinical Ocular Prosthetics by Keith R. Pine, Brian H. Sloan, and Robert J. Jacobs, and The Ophthalmic Record, a monthly review of the progress of ophthalmology, volume 26.
The progress, like...
The progress!
We forgot to write down 30 or so people's eyeballs exploding.
Progress!
Progress. Well, I mean, I guess it did end with, maybe we should write this down.
And also, quick shout out to Wikipedia.
Yeah, thanks, Wiki. You're always there for me.
Special shout out to our current patrons, Zane Winters, Paris, Kevin, Lisa, Priscilla, Talia, Patrick, and Endless Night Arts. You make this podcast possible, and we love you very much.
A smooch, smooch, smooch. That's a platonic smooch for you all.
Hell yeah. And thank you to everybody out there for listening. You did it. You made it to the end of the worst episode we'll ever put out.
This episode's full of so much psychic garbage. I'm proud of you.
You did it. You did the dang thing, and we love you very much for it. Bye.
Ooh, that was rough.